In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ told a story today that we are probably familiar with, and that there were vine dressers who were responsible for a vineyard. They were given a task. And unfortunately, they were very reckless. They were negligent. They didn't do the task as it was supposed to be done. In fact, they were disobedient. And that's why Christ in the parable calls them wicked. I ask myself, where do they get their haughtiness? Where do they get their pride? How come they're so stubborn? I'm reminded of one of the prayers that we pray together in Vespers and in Matins and in the liturgy inaudibly. And I'll share it with you, and then maybe we'll reflect on it. It's called the Litany for the Assemblies, and it goes like this, and I think you'll be familiar with it. The enemies of your holy church, as at all times, O Lord, now also humiliate, strip their vanity, show them their weakness speedily, bring to naught their envy, their intrigues, their madness, their wickedness, and their slanders which they commit against us. O Lord, bring them to no avail. Disperse their counsel, O God, as you disperse the counsel of Ahithophel. Sound familiar? I want to talk today a little bit about who heretics are. A heretic is an innovator. It's a false teacher. It's someone who brings up new teaching and who is filled with divisiveness, wants to divide, and strays away from the faith that was once delivered unto saints, according to Jude, his epistle, that was once, not twice, delivered unto the saints. Our Lord Jesus Christ says about these people, he says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. They appear to be these charming, eloquent individuals. Underneath, they're ready to attack. St. Paul calls them false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. But he says, don't marvel at that. He says, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So, you know, their teachings, first of all, stem from the work of Satan. They're dangerous, and they arise from within the church. That's the problem. And they confuse the simple and the elite. And they existed in the one holy Catholic church since the time of the apostles. St. Jude writes about them in his epistle. He says, for there are certain men who creeped in unaware, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men. So they creeped in and they deceived the people who were unaware of them. St. Peter in his second epistle says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. St. Paul himself became frustrated with some of their teachings. And look what he says. It's Galatians chapter 1. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So if we begin to teach you something different from what we already began, what we already taught you, or if an angel descends down from heaven and teaches you something different, stay away. Heretics are vain people. They think that they're the only ones who understand the faith. And that's why we ask the Lord to strip them of their vanity. Because they're puffed up and they think that they know it all. And among them were the Gnostics. Gnostics, gnosis meaning knowledge. These people, they thought they possessed a certain kind of knowledge that the others didn't. And that's why they called themselves Gnostics. The apostles tell us not to argue with them, but to avoid them. St. John in his second epistle says, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, Receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Don't let them into your house. Don't greet them. St. Paul, who wrote to his disciple Titus, he says, a man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject him. In other words, rebuke him, teach him, try to teach him once and twice. But after that, leave him condemned. Right? Here St. John talks to lay people and telling them not to argue with heretics. St. Paul is writing to Titus, a bishop, telling him the same thing. Warn him once, warn him twice, and then leave him aside. Consider him condemned. Heretics are schismatics. Huh? They create schisms because they separate themselves from the church. And this process, by the way, has been going on historically throughout the history of the church. And if you think about it, today we have probably more than 25,000 different Protestant denominations because of that. 25,000 different denominations. Some naive people might ask, but we're all Christians. We all serve the same God. It doesn't matter what denomination you belong to. That's an opinion of a heretic, because that doesn't agree with what the apostles are telling us in today's homily. Irenaeus once wrote, and he brings this matter to light. He says, John, the disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ, he went to bathe at Ephesus. And perceiving Cerinthus, he rushed out of the bathhouse without bathing, exclaiming, let us fly, lest even the bathhouse fall down, because Cerinthus, the enemy of the truth, is within. Cerinthus was a contemporary of St. John, the evangelist, and he thought that he understood the book of Revelation better than St. John, the evangelist, who wrote it. He thought that there would be a thousand-year reign of Christ on earth. He was teaching this while St. John himself was teaching something else. No wonder St. John didn't want to enter the bathhouse, because the enemy of the truth was there. Irenaeus tells us another story about his teacher, St. Polycarp. Polycarp was once asked by Marcion, another heretic, he asked Polycarp, do you know who I am? And Polycarp, wanting to nip it in the bud and just kind of dismiss him, said, yes, I know who you are. You are the firstborn of Satan. Because he didn't want to enter into communication with him. And Irenaeus comments on these two stories by saying, such was the horror which the apostles and their disciples had against holding even verbal communication with any corruptors of the truth. Saint Ignatius, the bishop of Antioch, and a disciple of Saint John the Evangelist, who died a martyr, he wrote in his epistle to the Philadelphians, he says, do not err, my brethren. If any man follows him that makes a schism in the church, he shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If anyone walks according to a strange opinion, he agrees not with the passion of Christ. So, that means you have to know the teachings of the church, first of all, so that you don't err. And it also means that it's probably not okay to be attending non-Orthodox meetings, because some of us can be misled. Because the teachings, they sound familiar, but they can lead us to another direction. We are told if we follow the schismatics, we shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Tertullian wrote in his book, The Prescription Against Heretics, he says, it is not necessary to seek the truth among others. It is easy to obtain from the church. Since the apostles, like a rich man depositing his money in the bank, lodged in their hands most copiously all things pertaining to the truth, so that every man, whosoever wills, can draw from the water of life. For this is the entrance to life. All others are thieves and robbers. On this account, are we bound to avoid them? Again, very strong verbiage about staying clear of these types of people. But how can I know which is the true church? since every sect or every denomination calls itself the true church. Tertullian has a good answer, and I want you to remember this answer. He says, let them produce the original records of their churches. Let them unfold the role of their bishops, running down in due succession from the beginning in such a manner that their first bishop shall be able to show for his ordainer and predecessor some one of the apostles or of the apostolic men. Do you understand what he's saying? This is the test. If you can show that your church has originated from one of the apostles of Jesus Christ, then you are, for all intents and purposes, the true church, an apostolic church. Because we have these, we have this what we call apostolic succession back to one of the apostles of Jesus Christ. And we have in our Coptic rite, in the Divine Liturgy of St. Basil, after the priest finishes praying the commemoration of the saints, what does the deacon inside the sanctuary say? Let those who read recite the names of our holy fathers, the patriarchs who have fallen asleep. And we used to recite them, going all the way back to who was the first one? St. Mark. Apostolicity. That's a good word. Apostolicity. The problem now, unfortunately, is even within the apostolic church, there might be some misteachings or heresies. Even within the Catholic Church, which is an apostolic church because they can trace it back to St. Peter, who preached Christianity to Rome. But there were teachings that came later. The infallibility of the Pope, purgatory, Immaculate Conception of the Virgin Mary, some of these as late as the 19th century. So that's the problem. If it's new, it's a heresy. Any kind of innovation is another name for heresy. And in order to justify these new doctrines, the Catholic Church invented something called, have you heard of this? The doctrine of progressive revelation. The doctrine of progressive revelation. You know what that means? That means God reveals the faith in installments. In other words, maybe in this era, he'll reveal something to us about the teachings of the church, and then later on in another generation, he'll teach something else, something new. The doctrine of progressive revelation. It goes against what St. Jude warns us. It tells us the faith was once delivered to the saints. Once delivered. St. Athanasius, in his first letter to Serapion, he says, let us note that the very tradition, teaching, and faith of the Catholic Church, Catholic meaning what? Catholic with a K, meaning the universal church, the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, huh? From the beginning, which the Lord gave, was preached by the apostles and was preserved by the fathers of the church. On this was the church founded. And if anyone departs from this, he neither is nor any longer ought to be called a Christian. If you depart from the teachings of the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, you cannot be called a Christian. So here's another test. What the Lord gave to his disciples, the disciples preached, and the fathers of the church, what? Kept, preserved. So we cannot all say that we are Christian then, unfortunately. Anyone whose teachings is not according to the fathers of the church is not a Christian according to Saint Athanasius. Now, why do we need the fathers? Who cares about the fathers? Isn't the Bible enough? Well, the heretics quote the same Bible that we have, but they give it a wrong interpretation. Saint Athanasius, as well as Arius, the heretic, they preached the same Bible, but they understood it differently. Arius, in his vanity, thought that he understood the Bible better than the ancients, in the same way that Cerinthus thought that he understood the book of Revelation better than Saint John, who wrote it, and it was revealed to him by the Lord of glory, who appeared to him and told him, I am the Alpha and the Omega, and he told him to record what he hears. Same case with Saint Cyril and Nestorius the heretic. They both preached the same Bible, but Nestorius explained it according to his personal opinion, while Saint Cyril explained it according to the writings of the fathers who preceded him. Saint Cyril tells us in his first letter to Socinus, we think the same things about the economy of our Savior as the holy fathers did before us. We regulate our own minds by reading their works so as to follow in their footsteps and introduce nothing that is new into the Orthodox teachings. Introduce nothing that is new into the original teachings. Do you see the difference? There's no innovation here. There's no progressive revelation, but strict conformity to the teachings of the fathers. That's what the Orthodoxy is all about. That's why heretics will not recognize the fathers. Some, they say, sola scriptura. What does that mean? Only the scripture. Only the scripture. But what scripture? Some have their own scripture. There are tens of Bibles that are in the market today, and each one is tailored to certain sects, certain denomination. Some are missing books, as you know. So, heretics are vain. Heretics are proud people who think that they are more knowledgeable than the fathers themselves who founded the church. Yes, we have founding fathers. Just like we say America has founding fathers, the church has founding fathers who've kept the teachings of Jesus Christ that have been preached by the disciples of our Lord. I'll end here. Saint Cyprian, he tells us in one of his epistles, he says, for these things are the beginnings of heretics and the origins and endeavors of evil-minded schismatics to please themselves and with swelling haughtiness to despise him who is set over them. Thus they depart from the church. Thus a profane altar is set up outside. A profane altar. Thus they rebel against the peace of Christ and the appointment and the unity of God. These are very strong words against those who go against the teachings of the church. May our Lord Jesus Christ remind us as we pray the litany for the assemblies. When you hear it in Vespers, for example, I want you to remember the teachings of Christ. I want you to remember that there are some who've distorted the teachings of Christ. I want you to remember there are some who've been swept away by attractive teachings, but that are not solid, that are not firm in the Orthodox faith, that they can be attractive to us one day if they haven't already been, but we have to be solid in our own faith so that we can stay away, not enter the bathhouse as we were told today. May our Lord Jesus Christ give us the wisdom and the discernment to follow the teachings of Christ faithfully to the glory of his holy name, and glory be to God forever. Amen.